Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of John. The Gospel record of John, and we find our way in the Gospel record of John in chapter number 17. The Gospel record of John and chapter number 17. We're in a series of the power of God's name. And what we're doing is we're going through the Bible and seeing the various different ways we see the name of God used. And we find one found in the Gospel record of John in chapter 17. As a reminder, there are certain chapters of the Bible that as soon as you hear them, you should already know what they are, how they refer to. The Gospel record of John is the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is now looking just hours before he goes to the cross of Calvary. He's already had the Last Supper. He's already spent the previous chapters 14 all the way up to 16, talking with his disciples privately as they walked up to the Mount of Olives. And now at the Garden of Gethsemane in the cool of the late night, early morning, Jesus takes some time by himself and begins to pray. And we get to eavesdrop in the Lord Jesus Christ prayer during this time and have a recording of his prayer when Jesus is talking to his Father. And we see something unique and special, not only because this is a prayer of Jesus, but also something that Jesus says in the midst of the prayer. If you don't mind, let's just read the entire thing for ourselves in the Gospel record of John chapter 17. And notice with me, if you don't mind, starting at verse 1. The Gospel record of John, chapter 17, and verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he may give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, that they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All thine are thine, all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast givest me, that they may be one as we are one. And while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I've kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not the world's, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray for I these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. They are all, that they all may be as one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, they may also be one in us, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, and they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, even as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou hast lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, and the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the gospel record of John chapter 17? The gospel record of John chapter 17, and notice with me in verse 6 where Jesus said, I have manifested thy name unto the men. I have manifested thy name. And with the Lord's help, we want to preach this phrase as we explore this high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have manifested thy name. I have manifested thy name. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would just give us grace and that you would give us mercy, that you would just help us, Lord, to be able to see you and to see what Jesus did to manifest your name to us, and that we could see what our responsibility is to manifest your name to others. Help us now to understand this principle. Help us to be able to point people to you. Again, fill me with your Spirit, that you would guide and direct, and that you would glorify your own name through your precious word even now. And we could trust you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ took time in his high priestly prayer, and as we read it together, you could see that Jesus Christ had been praying for his disciples, praying for those people that God had placed into Jesus' hand. And then he also prays not only for those, but those who are going to believe later on. That's us. Jesus took time to pray. And an interesting phrase is that he said, I have manifested thy name unto these men. I have manifested my name. What does that phrase deal with? It's not just talking about a verbal teaching or of doctrine or verbal teaching of just ministry, but it was the entire life and ministry of Jesus Christ was to manifest, to make apparent, to let people see who God is. Remember, the study of the names of God is to show an attribute, to show a characteristic of God. And Jesus said, I have manifested. It has been my job to show people, to reveal to people, to illustrate to people God's character, God's name, the attributes of him. That Jesus Christ lived his life to let others know what God was like. Now, how did he do that? Of course, he preached and he did other things, but Jesus Christ in his life itself, remember, everybody's life teaches a lesson. Jesus said, my whole purpose is to manifest who God is to others. Now, as we think about a lost and dying world, we understand this is a big deal. You know that people will understand who God is based off of the Christians they meet. If they meet a bad Christian, then they are manifesting a bad God. How we live our life becomes a very critical part. People will decide to learn more or stay away from God based off of our own life. we understand that we will manifest God's name, who he is and his characteristics, by the way we live our life. This becomes a very important thing. So if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to show you through the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ several different ways where Jesus manifested, made apparent, made clear who God was based off of the life that Jesus Christ lived. Notice, if you don't mind, first of all, manifesting God's holiness through obedience. Manifesting God's holiness through obedience. We know that holiness is one of God's great attributes, that he is holy, holy, holy. We could use a simplistic term of being perfect, 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 but it carries a deeper meaning of set apart from everything. That God is set apart. He is holy. He is above all things. How do we show that our God is holy? By us living an obedient life. Notice with me in verse number 4. I have glorified thee. So it carries the idea, I've glorified, I've shined, I've reflected. I was pointing people to you. How? I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. Jesus Christ declared, I have glorified thee, God. I have manifested your name. I have let everyone know how great and holy you are based off of the obedience that I had, completing what you had given me to do. Notice that his obedience was more than just an act of submission. It was a full expression of holiness in human flesh. We know holiness is God's defining attribute of his name. It shows his name is an absolute purity, righteousness, separation from sin. Jesus didn't just teach about holiness. It was manifested through his entire life of obedience unto him. What does this mean? Well, if we believe that God is holy and above everything, then it's going to be demonstrated by how well I obey. If I'm a disobedient Christian, then I look like my God is not a big God. He's not a powerful God. He's not a saving God. He's not a sin-hating God. He's not a separate God. That how we live our life, we're demonstrating that our God is holy. Or we're demonstrating that we don't have a holy God. This becomes a very big deal. As you study various parts of the Bible, we know that God's holiness is something that he has to protect, something that he very much emphasizes. And if we manifest a name that is not reflecting God's glory, his holiness, then we're not doing a good job demonstrating who God is. If we believe that God is Lord over all, that every knee shall bow and every tongue should confess, he should be my Lord in everything that he tells me to do. It should be demonstrated that others say, the reason why he does that, the reason why she does that, is because they have a real God. We are manifesting, demonstrating God's characteristic. We're making it apparent to others who our God is. That means everything you do is important. Everything you say is important. Because people are not just looking at you. They're looking at the God you represent. And when they catch us in disobedience, then they have a reason not to believe in that God that we say that we demonstrate. Jesus Christ, he was the embodiment of this obedience to Christ because of God's holy name. From the very moment of his public ministry, all the way up to his last breath on the cross, Jesus demonstrated holiness through obedience. When he healed the sick, he raised the dead, or he forgave the sinner. He wasn't acting on his own initiative. He was doing it because this is what God had given him to do. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 19, the Son of Man could do nothing of himself but what he has seen unto the Father to do. seeth the Father do. Jesus was very clear. I don't do anything in my life for myself. The reason why I healed that guy is because this is what God wanted me to do. He was totally submitted unto the God of the universe. An interesting study, we'll get that later on when we study John itself. But Jesus made it very clear that Jesus had no independent action outside of God. Well, I thought you were different people. They are different people, but they were, meaning different attributes, one God, different aspects. But the idea that there was no independence was because they were in concert in everything that they did. That if God said, do this, Jesus didn't say, well, I have a better idea. It was, this is what you want to do. This is what I want to do. He did nothing outside of himself. Now, of course, Jesus Christ is God, and he was God robed in flesh, and everything he did was perfect, but he's also the example. Everything that God told him to do, he did. He manifested God's name. He manifested God's holiness because of the way that Jesus Christ lived his life. Jesus' obedience showed that God's holiness is not distant nor inaccessible. It expressed that God cared for everyone. How do we know God cared for everyone? Because the way that Jesus obeyed, he demonstrated God's love in his obedience. The care, the compassion, everything he did. Everything that Jesus did was manifesting God's holiness through obedience. As we walk through, we see something else. We see that he was manifesting God's love through sacrifice. He was manifesting God's love through sacrifice. Notice with me verse 23. I in them and thou in me, that thou may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. The love that Jesus manifested on earth was not just an emotion. Remember, true love always produces action. And Jesus showed through his life that God loved us. We understand words are cheap. God could get down on his hands and knees and get close to the earth and say, I love you. I love you. I love you. And he could say it all kinds of different ways. And where it's nice to hear the words, they're meaningless unless there's some type of action behind it. Let me give an example. I can say I love my wife and say, honey, I love you. And because I love you, all I want to do is be with you. And so wherever you go, I'm just going to be right there and I'm going to stare at you. And I'm going to adore you. And I'm just going to look at you. And everywhere you go, I'm just going to be there, just staring at you. You know, after a while, she says, listen, you've got to go to work. You got to get a job. You got to do something. Because I love her, that also means I'm committed to care for her. I'm committed to make sure that her needs are met. Because I love her, it's going to be demonstrated in action. Well, how does God prove his love towards us if words can't be used? It was proved, for God commendeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The biggest way that God proved his love towards us is by Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary. Why is that a big deal? Because he died for me, and he died as me. I should have been on that cross. It was for me he died, and he took my place. And he didn't have to. Jesus was the sinless one. He was the only one who lived this earth that did not have to die. He was the only one who did not deserve to go to hell. But yet Jesus willingly died on the cross, though he didn't have to die in my place. So we would know without a doubt that God loved me. Love produces action. Now, it's very easy to say, God is love, but again, words are cheap. If we say, God is love, and then yell at the waitress for messing up our order, Does that match? If we say God is love, but I'm getting a fist fight over my neighbor over some weeds, does that match? The idea is that I'm to manifest, to demonstrate the love of God, but it is only done by action. So many times people will feel like Christians don't care for them. It is a common response near a local church for neighbors to say, that church doesn't care for me. And that's a horrible testimony. We should be the manifestation of God's name. Remember, God's name is a characteristic attribute to teach us more about God. God is love. He is without a doubt. How do people know that God loves them? By us manifesting God's love, showing that same care. Love always produces action. Words are cheap. And we can get to the place where we say we love ourselves. We may love other Christians if we're not fighting against them all the time. But we seem to ignore the rest of the world and treat that they don't exist, that they're not as good as us. One of the things Christians are usually accused of, elitism, that we think that we're better than them. We are not better than anyone. We live differently than them, but we are not better. And we don't need to act like we're better than anyone else. We need to go out of our way to show that we care for them all. And God will have to open doors for us to do that, but words are cheap. How do we manifest? How do we show God's love towards them? Well, Christ was the best example of that, that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins and to prove God's love. Jesus was here to manifest God's name, to make apparent, to make clear, to show people through a life that God was real and his attributes are true. He showed God's holiness through obedience. He showed God's love through action. In John 17, we also see something else. He manifested God's truth through his word. He manifested God's truth through his word. Notice there's a couple verses that deal with this. Notice verse 8, first of all. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they received them. So God gave Jesus the words, and Jesus shared those words to others. Those weren't his words, they were God's words. Now we understand theologically Jesus and God are the same. But as Jesus is speaking from a human standpoint, God, you gave me your words, and I shared those words to them. Why is this important? Why is it important that people have God's very words? Notice again in the verse number 17. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. God's word is true. It's one of the big reasons why we defend the Bible, because God's word's the truth. People do not need to hear from me. They need to hear from God. They need God's words, not my thoughts, not my opinions, not my ideas on the matter. They need to hear from God. And they are sanctified. The idea of sanctify means to be set apart for God's use, to be washed clean. And God sanctifies, washes us clean, sets us apart for his use through his word. We could say it this way, God's word changes lives. There is a power in God's word. And that Jesus' job was not to give his own words. Again, I've already stated this, that Jesus didn't work independently of God. God told him what to do, and Jesus in human form obeyed everything the Father gave. It wasn't his idea, his plans. It was what God gave. Again, John chapter 5 takes a big deal of this idea. We'll hit that later on when we hit the gospel record of John. But Jesus made it very clear, I don't say anything, I don't do anything that the Father hasn't prompted me. It's not my words that people need, it is God's words. Now again, Jesus is acting from a human perspective, so we could have that same idea. It's not my words. We understand that some people are very good at giving advice. It doesn't matter what kind of advice it is. They give them peace of the mind and do it gladly. So much that they've given so much of their mind away that they don't have anything left. But people don't need our thoughts and our opinions. They need God's word. And it's God's word that changes lives. And if we're going to manifest God and who he is, if we want to see lives changed, they need God's word. Whether it's something simple like giving them John and Romans so they could read it for themselves. Or if we're in a discussion with people, we're not using our own words. We're trying to give them the word of God. As much as possible, show them what the Bible says. Let them look for themselves. We don't want to ever get to the place where people are dependent on us to see what God says. We should teach them how to see it for themselves. Because God's word will do its own work. And Jesus was here to manifest God's name by giving them God's word. God's words that change life. Remember that in Jesus' day, the group that he was dealing with was a group of people who claimed to have God's word, but they had distorted it for their own purposes, for their own benefits, and they were manipulating people. We know that religion, not the Bible, religion does this all the time. We know that the Dark Ages, in what we call in Western civilization, the Dark Ages was a period of 1,000 years run by the Roman Catholic Church, where the Roman Catholic Church told people, do not read the Bible. You're not smart enough, spiritual enough, holy enough to understand it. We will tell you what it says. And thus began the Dark Ages when people were not going to God's word themselves. They were dependent on some person. Now, if you're not reading the Bible, someone could tell you anything and it sound good, but not be biblical. But it is God's word that changes lives. They need to hear from God. None of us have a better idea. None of us have a better plan. They need God's word. And if we're going to manifest God's name like Jesus manifested God's name, we must give them God's word. That's what they need most of all. It is, God's word is truth. And that's what they need. God's word will show them what they're doing wrong. God's word will convict them. God's word will change them. It is God's word that they need. For us, we need to trust God's word ourselves and then be able to give it to others. As we go through, we're seeing that Jesus is manifesting God's name. By the way that he lived his life, he was the manifesting, showing, letting people know who God is and his characters by the way that Jesus lived his life. We see something else, manifesting God's protection through unity. Manifesting God's protection through unity. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. As Jesus is praying, he's praying for a protection for these disciples. And it wasn't just physical protection. It was spiritual protection, guarding. Notice that word keep. That word keep carries with it a picture of guarding, of protecting, like castle walls. He said, protect them, guard their faith, protect their obedience, and protect their unity. And now I am no more in this world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. How do they have this protection? By having a unity in God. Where does unity come from? It comes from looking unto Jesus. If everyone's looking at God and we're going the same place, the same destination, going the same speed, we're going to be walking together. It's keeping our eyes on Jesus. Next year, our camp theme is in harmony with God. And that's a very important thing. Because if we're going to define this unity, we understand it doesn't mean that we play the same note. Years past, I used to play trumpet. And I remember when I first got trumpet, I was excited because I used to listen to orchestration pieces like John Williams' Star Wars and hearing the horns, or Indiana Jones, and listening to those horns, and I was expecting to get the horn, and immediately I'm playing all these great majestic pieces. But instead, my first music thing was blomp, blomp, blomp. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense to me. I thought I was going to play a song. But now all I'm doing is playing blomp, blomp, blomp. I'm like, this is not what I signed up for. And so they would give you your piece and you're supposed to practice it at home. And my parents hated it. They said it sounded like a cat dying in the yard. And a trumpet's not a quiet instrument. So, you know, they wouldn't let me practice in the house because it was too loud. And so I have to go outside. Now the neighbors are all mad at me and I'm blomp, blomp. And so it doesn't even sound like a song. I'm just, what is he doing out there? Blomp, blomp, blomp. But, you know, practicing, trying to do my part. All right, this is what I've been given to do. I'm going to go ahead and play my notes and play it up there and learn the rest and make sure I get the timing right. Okay, blomp, blomp. Then what happens is that once we practice our piece, we now come in. And now we have an orchestra there. And everyone plays their part. And we have different people playing different parts. But when everyone's looking at the conductor, and everyone's on the same page, and everyone's on the same timing, what happens is beautiful music happens. It would be a horrible orchestra if everyone was on the same note. But the orchestra needed to be in harmony. And the only way that happens is if everyone is looking at the conductor and everyone is doing their part. I learned a long time ago as the trumpet is not meant to play a clarinet part. It doesn't work. It doesn't sound as good. As much as I love and I support trumpets, a trumpet is not made to play a clarinet part. I learned by bad experience, a trumpet doesn't play a flute part. A trumpet doesn't even play a drum part. The trumpet plays the trumpet part. The clarinet plays the clarinet part. The violin plays the violin part. The timpanis play the timpani part. But when we all play our part, we're all looking at the conductor. We're allowing him to direct and I do my part. A beautiful harmony comes. There's a unity. There's a safety. There's a protection there when everyone's on the same page. Not necessarily the same note, but everyone's on the same, measure. Everyone's on the same measure and doing our part. There's a unity that happens when an orchestra plays wonderfully. There's nothing like it. I had the privilege of being on a 200-piece orchestra in high school, and it sounded wonderful as long as everyone played their parts. When someone's not playing the right part and didn't get enough practice, it sounds a little bit off. But everyone does their part and they're all looking at the conductor. That's the unity that you want to have. And there's a protection that God says, when everyone's looking at me, we're not thinking of our own ideas. We're not thinking of our own plans. We're not trying to get our own things accomplished. We're letting God be the director, letting God be the boss. We're not going to business for ourselves. There's a safety there. You know, in the ministry where we get in the biggest danger, when I have a brilliant idea and I'm doing it on my own without God guiding and directing, I can end up hurting a lot of people and giving God a black eye, giving God a bad reputation. And now people do not want to listen to God because someone went to business for themselves. There's a unity that comes. In fact, think of churches that are fighting one another. Do Do you think anyone wants to go into church where people are fighting each other and fist fights in the parking lot? Not at all. People said, well, if they can't get their act together, well, then I don't want to do anything to do with it. How do they get their act together? Everyone looking towards the Lord and playing their part, and everyone has the same timing, and letting God be God. Jesus was saying, if you stay with me, keep your eyes on me, you're not doing your own thing, not trying to get your own solo in the middle of the band orchestra, it's going to be fine. There's going to be unity. There's going to be a protection. You're not going to wander off on your faith. Keep looking at me. We were just talking, some preachers and I were talking about how dangerous it is for preachers. We were talking about preachers who once believed like we do that are now on Never Everland. What happened? They got their eyes off the Lord. They started listening to a different conductor. YouTube is a tool, but it can be very dangerous because there's a lot of awful stuff. I hope that you don't know by experience, but everything I preach, you could find someone preaching against it through YouTube. And you could start finding someone who disagrees with me, start listening to them, and disrupt a unity. And you could get in lots of danger by following a different conductor. Unity only happens when we're looking at the same thing, same timing, looking together. That's what God is desiring for us. Notice as we go on, we could see something else. All this is leading to a personal application. We need to manifest God's name through our lives. Jesus lived his entire life manifesting God's name. And just like Jesus gave the example, that's how we manifest God's name to them, to those on the outside, to those who are believers, those who are not believers. How do we show that our God is real? We know that God is not visibly coming down. God doesn't come down from the clouds and put a finger down on someone. God doesn't do anything like that. Then how do we know that God's real? That's a good question. By believers living their life like God is real. By believers showing God's holiness through obedience. Through believers using God's word and delivering them God's word. By believers showing God's love by action. By believers being on the same page, having a unity that gives a protection, showing that God is a great conductor. And if we put his eyes on him, even though it may not seem like your part makes sense, when you keep your eyes on him, it's wonderful how God puts it all together as a beautiful orchestration. By the way, every local church should be that same way. That if every local church is keeping their eyes on God, then there's a wonderful unity as we all just find our parts and do them. Keep our eyes on the conductor. You know, when there's a church in unity like that, people want to join because they're looking for something. When people are able to trust God's word and not fight over God's word, people are looking for something because they're looking for something true. We know that we have a world that's so abused, they're looking for real love. They may not know what it is until they see it, but they're looking for real love. We know that we are to manifest God's name and show his attributes through the life we live. So the question is, what type of message has your life been living? What type of God do you reflect? You know, we could get to the place where we could say, the sky is falling, woe is me, and run around like a chicken with his head cut off, and make it look like our God is out of control. We could walk around in depression, looking like we've been soaking in pickle juice and licking on lemons, instead of saying we've got a God who provides great joy and we can enjoy the journey. We could live a life so disobedient that it looks like our God is not our Lord. Why would anybody want to follow that God? If we won't obey God, why should they? What type of life have you been living? What type of life have you been manifesting about the character of God? Everything you do in your life is important. And people are watching you whether you think so or not. We've said before that you may not realize it, but there are children that look up to you that think you're the greatest Christian they've ever met. You may be the poorest example, but for some reason they think that you're great. You have a huge responsibility to point them to the Lord by the demonstration of your life. We have young Christians that come in. And it is amazing as watching young Christians come in and they'll start attaching themselves to someone and think you're the greatest Christian who ever lived. You have a responsibility because you could encourage their faith or hurt their faith. Jesus Christ manifested God's name in everything that he did and gave us that same example that we are the only way that people learn who God is, his character. We have a huge responsibility to keep our eyes on the master and follow after him so we could be the proper reflection of who God is. Manifest thy name. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're asking that you just give us encouragement, that you would help us even now, that we would respond properly, that we would keep our eyes on you even now and see what a huge responsibility you've given to us and great privilege, because how people see us and the way that we live our life is how they're going to see our God. Help us to be that proper reflection. Help us to manifest, to make apparent, to make clear who you are. As we look back, perhaps there are some areas that we need to shore up, that we need to fix. Maybe it's the word of God that we're not depending upon, and it shows up when we deal with others. Maybe our love doesn't have true action. Maybe our obedience to God isn't where it should be. Maybe we're just not keeping our eyes on the Lord and we're wandering off doing our own thing. Help us, Lord, to have the influence we ought to have as we keep our eyes on you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you wouldn't mind us stand to your feet. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.